Positive Mind with Armand DeMille.
Hi there, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM in New York, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And boy, it happened again. Last week we started talking about some subject related to romance and love. We talked about sabotage, how people sabotage themselves in relationships. And the phones were flooded. Yep, we got a lot of calls for requests for repeats of that program because people wanted to hear, because people get confused about relationships. So I'm going to continue that today in response to a few requests. Here's a real question for you. Let's talk about falling out of love. Yep, falling out of love. It's happened to all of you at one time or another. Yes, I know some of you say, well, I've never been that romantically involved. No, you've all fallen out of love in one form or another. Let's talk about this from a psychological point of view, because that's what I do for a living. So I said, well, if I'm going to talk about it, I may as well research it first. And I did the psychology of falling out of love, and nowhere could I find a reference that talks about it, that describes it. No psychological theorist talks about falling out of love, yet they'll all talk about falling in love. And many psychologists and psychotherapists will see, privately, they don't admit this too much, falling in love as some form of craziness, a form of pathology. You fell in love, but it was really just chemical. You fell in love, but it was really lust. You fell in love, but you were really feeling so deficient at that time that you had to have something happen. You fell in love because your mother just died and you needed somebody to replace her. So many psychologists, theorists, will give you a reason why you fell in love, and they will describe this incredible experience. I don't, but they do. Well, I do too. We'll talk about that. But very few, almost no one, has ever analyzed the experience of falling out of love, and yet you all know what that's like. So today we're going to talk about falling out of love. Yep, and we're going to have to ask other people than the shrinks to give us the answer to this, because they don't know about it. But let me tell you a couple of people who do know about it. Here's one. Here's a lyrics from a song by John Wayne Wiggins, who writes about falling out of love. He said, woke up this morning with a smile on my face. I can't believe your memory doesn't keep me awake. My heart's not beating the missing you blues, and my eyes aren't crying for you anymore. All those wasted nights I sat and I cried, waiting for you, knowing that you wouldn't come by. I look back and laugh at the fool I've been. I'll never set foot in them shoes again. See, he's already fallen out of love. This must be what falling in love feels like. I don't mind if I do. Feeling like I don't care feels really nice. I don't toss and turn with your memory all night. Must be what falling out of love feels like, he says. I don't jump when the telephone rings. I don't pace the floor, pull my hair, and scream. I eat a lot better with an appetite, and sleep comes easy at night. I got no problems, there ain't nothing wrong. As a matter of fact, I never felt so strong. I feel like shouting out, I'm over you. I think I'll call my mama up and tell her the news. This must be what falling out of love feels like. I don't mind if I do. Feeling like I don't care feels really nice. Saying it's over, knowing I'm right, must be what falling in love feels like. Falling out of love feels like. John Wiggins lyric. John Wiggins. So John Wiggins writes this in response to what it's like after you fell in love, after you've fallen out of love. I'm sorry. Now, falling out of love, interesting concept. What does it feel like? You know, we can only compare it to falling in love. But falling out of love, you know, I've fallen out of love with him. I've fallen out of love with it. How could you feel so connected and then feel so disconnected? Let's say you find a friend. You find a friend and you have a wonderful new friend. I've had this experience. You meet somebody for the first time and they just seem to talk your language. They live next door. You call them up. They're always available. They'd rather hear from you than hear from anybody. You'd rather hear from them than hear from anybody. You have a wonderful experience. They are terrific, and you just can't stand how good you feel with them. You'd rather be with them than the way you'd spend any of the other time. Now, this is a friend. You see, a friend. Well, I know somebody who talked about this experience. She had found a friend, a girlfriend, who was this terrific person. She said, I can't believe how great she was. We just started getting out to know each other. And then she told me one night she was busy. And I said, why are you busy? And she said, because I'm working on the President Bush reelection committee. Now, there was nothing about this woman that seemed different to her than her other people. She said, But the President Bush re-election committee, now she was a staunch liberal. She was out there. She was fighting against the war. And her new friend said, yeah, I really think it's okay. Now, you don't want to get into an argument about politics with a friend of yours. This is no friend. You don't argue with friends, really. And it's a new friend. But the minute her friend said it, she looked at her friend as if she had looked at her friend for the very first time. She said, how could I have missed that you're somebody who feels that way when I feel so differently? And she fell out of love immediately. It was the end. It came crashing through the floor. You know? Interesting thing. I'm sure it's happened to many of you, and we're going to be talking to you today. Falling in love. You know, you're in the honeymoon phase, the beginning. Falling in love. You feel a complete attachment emotionally, physically, spiritually, chemically, psychologically, intellectually, sexually. You got this whole thing going on. You meet somebody who's a prospective mate, and you suddenly are in love. They have got everything. There's a number of questions that I once thought, where's that question? Here's a questionnaire. Okay. You would feel despair if this person left you. Sometimes you can't control your thoughts because you can't stop thinking about them. You feel happy when you're doing something to make them happy. Right? You'd rather be with them than anybody else. You get jealous at the thought that they might be attracted to somebody else. You yearn to know everything about them. You have an endless appetite for affection from them. You never get tired of them being affectionate. You should sense your body responding when they touch you. They always seem to be on your mind. You want them to know you. You want them to know you, your fears, your hopes, your tears. You eagerly look for the signs indicating that they desire you or want to be with you. And you get depressed when things don't go right in your relationship with them. That might be one of the definitions. I'm getting that from a questionnaire, the passionate love scale. That may be a definition of what it's like to be in love. You're in love. You feel this incredible connection. There is so many things, the smell, the touch. That's one thing. Now, there's two things that can happen to love. You know, love could be going through. You go through the first month, the first 2 months. Right? 3 months. And it diminishes. Now, there are cases where you may not be in love anymore, but you fall not out of love. But you now feel in love. You feel you love them. But the in love stuff kind of goes away. But you still love the other person deeply. And that could last a while. But falling out of love is different. Falling out of love, you feel emotionally separated from the person. You feel physically at odds. You really don't want to touch them. And in fact, many people who fall in love turn around where they can only have sex with each other, and the sex is semi-violent. You know, it's like there's no talking, there's no kissing, there's no real affection. It's like banging, whatever that means. Spiritually, there's no connection at all. You don't really feel that with them. Chemically, you almost start to feel that you don't like the smell of them anymore. Psychologically, you are beginning to feel either anger or you feel like you're completely separate from them. No feeling at all. Intellectually, you don't feel like you want to discuss any issues with them. That's falling out of love. That's different than falling in love with somebody, then being in love, and then loving them. Because most people have fallen in love initially, and then they love each other, and then they hook up. You know, they could kind of be with each other for life, like the swans. Let's talk about falling in love with the swans. Well, I was thinking about the swans. You see, here's an example where falling in love, you see, swans mate for life. I don't know if they're in love with each other. But I used to love swans. I used to think that there was no greater pleasure than looking at swans in a bay or a lake. So I remember once, a long time ago, I had the opportunity to rent a summer house after the summer was over, for September, October, and November. September and October, that was right on the bay. And what convinced me to take this house, even though it was very, very inexpensive, I mean very cheap, we're talking very, very cheap because nobody wanted to rent it in that time of year, it was the swans. The swans were right outside the door in the bay. And so there I was, somebody who looked forward every weekend to going out there to see the swans, bring my friends, go out there, sit around, look at the swans. I thought it was such a nice, peaceful image. And then I noticed something. When I went down to the beach, the swans came rushing up the beach to bite me. And they were biting any of my friends who went on the beach. They were protecting their turf. And they were very loud and very angry. In fact, there were some steps coming up from the beach. They used to come up from the beach and demand food. And when I or one of my friends didn't feed them, they would bite you. They would come after you and start biting you. So we would say, here we are stuck for a summer with the enemy of swans coming up the steps. Now, of course, you can imagine we tried everything possible to make peace with the swans, but these were angry swans. That's why the house was so cheap. Anyway, falling in love with swans and then falling out of love with swans, I look at swans differently. You know, now this happens. You could fall in love with your car. You can have a car, and it could be the very, very best car. You buy a new car, you sit in your car. It's a wonderful car. You love your car. Many people love their car, especially people who don't, who have a sense of independence, who want to be, have a feeling that they're in control of their lives. They get in their car, it's theirs. Cars, it could be a bicycle, it could be a motorcycle, it could be a vehicle. Whatever it is, you love it. Then there are a number of reasons you could fall out of love with your car. One reason that I've heard the most is if a person rents another car out of need and the other car is so much better. It gives you so much more control. Now you were in love with your car, but you tried something better. You're not so much in love. This could happen in relationships. You're in love with somebody, but then you try somebody else, and you don't feel as in love with your original as you were. This is Armand DeMille with you, speaking with you of the positive mind. We're talking about being in love. So now we're talking being in love and falling out of love, and we're talking about being in love with cars, being in love with swans, being in love with people. Of course, we're really talking about trying to understand what it's like to fall out of love. I'm going to get to that later. I'm going to help you with that. I want to describe it first. You can fall out of love with Jesus. Do you know that? Yep. Didn't know when I put in falling out of love, one of the things I came up with was falling out of love with Jesus. An article about people who were in love with Jesus. And in love with Jesus is a big thing in Catholicism. I grew up Catholic. And they talked about how nuns were in love with Jesus and dedicated their lives to it, and everything that we would know about, except for the physical part that was a definition of being in love, is what a nun would feel towards Jesus, or I was taught nuns would feel towards Jesus. They were married to Jesus. They wore a wedding band, married to Jesus. So then something happens, and you become disenchanted, and more than disenchanted, sometimes you turn against Jesus, like the death of your child. I've seen it happen to many people. They're religious, and they have a child who gets a terrible disease and dies, and they can't make sense of it, and they turn against their religion. Not only Jesus, what about how many people do you know who fall, absolutely become dedicated to gurus? And by gurus, I mean the likes of anybody who's a leader. It could be Muktananda, it could be Rajneesh, it could be, anybody. Anybody who puts themselves out there with white robes and says, I'm a healer and I'm wonderful and I'm terrific, you know, and I'm come to me and sit at my feet and I'll give you a blessing. Well, people fall in love with those people. Because when they go, they feel so peaceful, they feel so dedicated, they have their entire mind there. And then what happens, especially if you're a serial worshiper? A serial worshiper is, serial, I made that phrase up just now. Somebody who likes Rice Krispies and then they like cornflakes. That's a serial worshiper. No, a serial worshiper is somebody who goes from guru to guru. And they love one and then they love another and then they love another. And then you ask them, hey, what happened to the last one, and they say, he wasn't so hot. They never say he was bad, but they really turn off to it. They turn off. They don't want to admit that they were wrong in loving them. Armand DeMille here with you with the positive mind. So you could have that with your gurus. Now, here's the thing. How many of you have fallen out of love with a program? A program, you know, let's say a video, a movie, a TV program. You watch a series on television, right? You see it. It's an exciting series. It's terrific. You love Will and Grace. You love whatever it is. What? And you love these programs and you want to see it. You can't wait till it comes on. You even TiVo it, if you know what that means, to get it to see it because you don't want to miss it. You regret and you love these programs. When I say love, you look at them, you have a physical reaction, you have an emotional reaction, a spiritual reaction, you absolutely adore it, you can't wait till it happens, whatever it is, and then you fall out of love with the program. And you don't even know it, but you don't like the program. You dislike it, in fact. How did that happen? How did that happen? It happens to many of you. Many of you can fall in love with not just a program, but a whole station. You could love Air America, or you could love WBAI, and you could fall out of love with a station just as well. You could be listening to the program, the station that I'm connected with, WBAI, and you could be feeling a kind of a negative animosity, you know, like the way you do with a lover you fell out of love with. You know, get away from me. But you still tune it in because there's one or two things you like. Or you could fall out of love with the positive mind, the program, the positive mind. You could say, then you wouldn't listen anymore. You know what I mean? So this experience, you could fall in love with a painting. You get a painting. One of the disadvantages of getting paintings, you see a gorgeous painting. You love the painting. You hang it in your house. Now you paint your house so it matches the painting. Now you look at the painting and, you get a little tired of it. Now you're tired of it, but you can't replace it. It costs too much. You can't put it away. You can't sell it. And you actually get to the point where you don't even know it, but you've fallen out of love with the painting. In fact, you even dislike it. You don't even see it anymore. That happens just as well. It used to be a wonderful program at the Museum of Modern Art. It used to rent paintings. That was perfect for me. I used to go there and I would rent great artists. I mean, great, great artists. We're not talking about minor artists. I have one here, Milton Avery, that was a rentable thing. You would rent it for, I think it was $100 a month. You would rent a great work of art and hang it in your house. That was back in the 60s. It was great. The rental program. What a nice idea. you could love chocolate. You know, a lot of people say they love chocolate. They have a physical reaction to it, a chemical reaction to it. It does, it supposedly makes you feel like love. And it could be chocolate. It could be Hershey's chocolate. Some people love a Hershey bar, but then you give them something really good. Then you teach them to kind of make a real chocolate recipe. Or you go to Maison de Chocolat uptown and you get a fresh chocolate and you make it from scratch and you temper the chocolate and you mix in the stuff and you taste real chocolate. Not that old stuff that's turned rancid that everybody likes, you know. And suddenly you love a new chocolate. And the old chocolate you don't love. So this is the same with people, you know. You can have people you love and then you get a new person and a new form of the same person is something you love. We're going to want to hear from you on this one, my friends. Before I tell you what I think falling out of love is really about somewhere down this thing today, I want to hear from you and your experience of falling out of love. Arousal, right? You arouse. A person arouses you. Arouses you is such a nice word because when we think of arousal, we always think of sexual, don't we? Sexual arousal. How about intellectual arousal? You know, do you arouse me intellectually? How about psychologically do you arouse me? I mean, I feel some kind of connection with you. That's in my mind. How spiritually can you arouse me? Yeah. Yeah, arousal is a very good word. It means it lights you up. It means it kind of sparks you. It gets you a little excited. Arouse, you know? Such a good word. And then, one of the things that happen when you fall out of love with someone is all the arousal is gone. You're no longer aroused. You have a kind of negative arousal. Now this is, instead of having the positive arousal, you kind of wish they weren't around. You wish they didn't talk to you. You'd rather watch television. You'd like not to spend your time that way. Here's a poem by somebody who was falling out of love. And I like this. He said, here's a poem. He writes, "Hardest thing I've ever done or that I'll ever do was to walk off and leave you. But I knew I had to leave you. Because I couldn't stay and watch you falling out of love with me. Worst pain I'd ever know or that I'll ever know was to see your love dying. And I had to watch it dying. And I couldn't stand to watch you falling out of love with me. It's hurting now, but it's still better. I left while love was still alive. It was dying, and I'd rather I didn't have to watch it die. The deepest hurt I've ever felt, or that I'll ever feel, was to know that I was losing you. And I tried, but I kept losing you. I couldn't stay and watch you falling out of love with me. The loneliest I've ever been, or that I'll ever be, is now that I'm without you. I feel so lost without you, but I couldn't stay and watch you falling out of love with me. It's hurting now, but it's still better. I left while love was still alive. It was dying, and I'd rather I didn't have to watch it die. Your love was dying, and I'd rather I didn't have to watch it die." So that's another idea of a way that it happens. You see somebody falling out of love with you. Oh, my gosh. I'm sure that strikes a lot of things with you. There are a lot of people, you know, who have fallen out of love with America. This has happened across the world. There were people in other countries that we've had, Germany, France, Italy. They used to imitate us all the time. They used to wear the jeans and look like they were Americans, and they would wear our designer stuff. And having something American was a great thing. There were people who are, you know, like we're Francophiles. They were Americanophiles. I wonder what the name for that is. Americophiles? Anyway, they were, you know, statophiles or whatever you want to call it. And they loved us. They thought we were just fantastic and they were looking forward to being here and they just couldn't wait for the day when they would get here. and be part of America because they just wanted to be an American. And then this thing happened, and little by little, they didn't like it anymore. So the Italians who wanted to be here, who used to wear our clothing, I'm told, even though they're buying American clothing now because the rates are so cheap, because the euro dollar is so high compared to ours, they're not buying the things that identify them as American any longer. And the same thing is happening in Switzerland and Germany and in France. People are no longer buying the things that look obviously American so that they could associate themselves with us, so they could get together and look at each other wearing their Guess jeans or wearing their Levi's, you know, and saying, you know, oh, that's so cool because that's American. They're not wearing that anymore. So what's happened? They have fallen out of love with us. And there was a time when they were in love with us. The very word file, you know, like Francophile, in every country, there is some kind of file. It means I'm in love with. I'm in love. I feel that feeling. If I put on those jeans, if I put on that shirt, if I put on that sweater, I'm in love with. So this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We are talking about falling out of love, and we're going to talk about some of the different ways that it happens, and we're going to talk about how it happens to you. But what are the different forms of falling out of love? Okay, one is a feeling of looking at the other person and you feel a kind of an apathy or stonewalling. You just don't want to give them anything, and you look at them and you almost feel pathetic. Right? You have this feeling like, oh, how, no, you don't feel pathetic. You feel a kind of a patheticness towards them. You know? You look at them and go, ugh, how pathetic they are. That's one. Now, that may reflect, and you may or may not feel anger. You feel angry with them. But very often in these kind of relationships, the person's anger is not expressed. That's why we, as therapists and couples therapists, get couples who have fallen out of love. And the way we fix it is we go to try to find the anger that's underneath the apathy and the stonewalling that is usually there. So a person who has fallen out of love, you know, they come in and they're kind of half motivated because they want to save the children. And what we'll do is we'll get to underneath it is this anger that somebody has felt that nobody's expressed because they don't feel like they have a right to it. So anger, in its different forms, including apathy and stonewalling, is one of the ways. Personal depression is another way that you fall in love. You know, let's say you're falling out of love. Let's say it's not the other person's thing. It's just you got deeply depressed. And you get depressed and you no longer feel love because your depression stops you from feeling anything. Dullness is another form of falling out of love when you become completely dull and you don't feel any feelings at all, any whatsoever. And the last, the one that may lead to all of these, has to do with what we call a narcissistic wound, where there's an image you had of yourself and the way you were, a belief you had about yourself that falls apart. You get an insult. You feel betrayed. And this thing happens where you no longer even believe in your own capacity to love anymore. And you just feel completely dead. It's an insult. It's a betrayal. So we're going to come back to that. And when we come back, we're going to be taking your calls. I have a very special piece of music to play for you on the break because it's about this. So be sure to tune in with that. We will be back with you in just a little bit. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, this is Danny Glover. You're tuned into WBAI, listener-supported, non-commercial radio in New York.
Falling out of love is a dangerous thing. with its slippery slopes and its waving wings, with its birds of prey circling overhead, casting vulture shadows on barren beds. Let me meow.
Falling Out of Love, Mary Gautier, G-A-U-T-I-E-R. Pretty, pretty intense stuff, my friends. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind, talking about one of the worst feelings. Well, it's kind of a worst feeling, and it's not. You know, it's like the absence of feelings. Absence of feelings are very, very difficult. I heard a mother yelling at her child the other day, "Why don't you love me?" Right? Now, this is because the kid didn't get an A or something. "Why don't you love me?" And the child obviously was behaving in such a way that the mother didn't feel the child's affection. And here's an interesting thing to put on a child's brain. How do you explain the absence of a feeling? The absence of a feeling. Not how do you explain the presence of a feeling. Like if the mother said, "Why are you angry at me?" maybe she would have gotten an answer. But "Why don't you love me?" is, "Can you please explain the absence of a feeling?" This is very important stuff because you can't, it's very hard to feel the absence of a feeling. Remember when you were in love and the person kissed you on the neck and you felt this electric wave go through your body of, and it touched every part of you and juices started to flow immediately. The very same person kisses you on the neck and you feel an aversion. You feel ticklish. How did that happen? What happened there? The person smiles at you across the room. You used to feel something warm all over when they smiled at you across the room. Now they smile at you across the room and you feel some kind of irritation because you think that they have to have you smile back. You feel it as an obligation. How did that happen? How does it happen that they plan to get together with you and you would rather be shopping or you'd rather be at home watching TV and they say to you, "Oh, come on, we'll have a romantic dinner," and you go, "Oh, no." Well, falling out of love. And when you fall out of love with someone, it turns from a positive And as positive as it was, it turns into a negative. The negative is this kind of distance that for many people who are not comfortable because they don't understand it, because they can't explain it, they get lost. They feel that the only way they could deal with this is to get depressed. And many people get depressed when they fall out of love. We have many cases, clients who come by here, who are people who just got out of a relationship because they fell out of love. They ended the relationship, but the pain of it is so big they don't know how to deal with it. And inside, because they don't know how to deal with it, they feel themselves falling apart and getting depressed. So it's a very confusing thing, my friends. I mean, we could talk about having to fight for food, for survival, you know, struggling to make ends meet. You could talk about trying to get your children the food they need to put it on the table, or getting something for Christmas that makes them feel good. You could talk about survival. You could talk about any number of pains, and humans will go through them because they are survivors and they are fighters and they will go for it. But talk about love pain. Oh my gosh. Many humans can't survive it. They don't survive it. They get depressed. They fall apart. You know? They become functionless. Some people commit suicide over love. It's an important issue. Not to be thrown away. You know, when a kid falls in love with its parent, when a young child goes to its parent and says to its parent, they reflect something that the parents call puppy love. Very often parents will take this and they'll throw it out and they'll say, ah, it's meaningless. It's just puppy love. But it's a big deal. Big deal when children begin to feel that feeling, because that's what many adults feel. When many adults fall in love for the first time, it's like puppy love. It's the very same thing. It's that total, this is what the world is about. And when a child loses a friend or feels betrayed, and the response they have where their world is coming to an end, that's what adults go through when their relationships come to an end. So let's not look at these kids and say, oh, how silly of them because they're so young. Because whatever they're going through, my friends, both falling in love and falling out of love, that's what we go through every time. 212-209-2900 is the number here at WBAI. 212-209-2900. We're going to take your calls today. A little reminder, we are with you today, tomorrow, and Thursday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And while you're making your calls on Wednesday, I expect Roberta Atti to be with me. We're going to be talking about discovering the medicine healer in all of you. Discovering it, and Roberta will be on WBAI at 11 o'clock on Wednesday. She has a show all her own where she'll be exploring issues about this medicine woman concept. Very, very, very interesting. She's so good with her history and research. So Armand DeMille, 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, I'm so glad that you're having the show today, because I'm going through that right now. First of all, I've been sort of going back and forth because I haven't had a relationship that's lasted very long, more than 5 months or something, and I'm in my 30s now, and I'm wondering if this falling out of love feeling is just a natural part of relationships. I mean, you mentioned that. It's the honeymoon doesn't last forever. It's
well,
not wonderful forever.
Well, there's two kinds. What's your name, by the way?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, there are two kinds. You're talking about you've never had relationships that last more than 5 months because there's a part of you that I suspect is a very private person. Is that true?
Yes.
And you're are you an artistic kind of person, too?
Yes, actually.
Yes, actually. It's funny how I know these things. So you're an artistic kind of person who kind of likes to be alone, and you're probably, as I imagine, very much the individualist. Is that true?
Sometimes I think so. I mean, I think I am a loner.
Loner. Do you work with a whole group of people in a factory?
No.
What do you do?
I'm unemployed.
Right. And what do you do? Because even working with people is a difficulty. You are a loner. You see? It's a social environment.
Maybe. I can't spend too much time alone because I start to
get antsy.
Yeah, I like being around people, but I guess there are times I definitely don't.
Well, you see, if the bottom line is that you're a loner, an individualist, and somebody, and that's your bottom line, then somewhere you're always pulling against that. Now, if you were somebody who had consulted with me, I would look at this, and I would try to get you to accept that there's a bottom line of you that truly wants to be alone. Now, this doesn't make you broken or wrong, because many, many people, especially many men, would like to be alone, but they don't think they have a right to do it. So what they do is they go into relationships where the person's not available so that they could wind up being alone. And then what they also do is they kind of talk themselves into getting married, and then once they get married, they isolate themselves and they're alone anyway. So this is not such a thing, but trying to accept that there is a choice, that you would rather be alone than be with other people, and really accept it, becomes the first step. I know for you that's difficult to think of because you try so hard. But then what happens is you meet somebody, and I'm sure this has happened to you, where you fall in love. Is that true?
Well, not recently. In fact, I've been feeling like I've been sort of dead inside. I used to fall in love a lot more deeply, and this relationship I'm in now is with someone who was the opposite of unavailable. He was more interested in me than I was in him, especially in the beginning. And I just sort of, gave it a shot, but.
But there were parts about it you didn't like.
Parts about him,
there are parts about this relationship, of this idea of being in love and being in a relationship and the commitment it takes and the work it takes and the things you got to deal with and his constant presence that you just didn't take to so well.
No. I mean, the constant presence especially seemed to want to spend more time with me than I wanted to, throughout the whole time.
Now, imagine, so you're with this person now, right?
Yeah, I think I might still be.
You might still be, but you might not be.
Uh-huh.
And what if you, just the idea, imagine if you started off this relationship, I want you to know that I'm really a loner and that I need a lot of time by myself. And that I'd like to have a relationship with you, but I want it to be sporadic. I don't want it to be every night. I don't want you sleeping over because sometimes I want to sleep alone, and it's really who I am. And I would love to know you because you're a lovely person, but I have limits as to how far I want to be with anybody right now in my life.
Yeah. Actually, I did tell him that, and I've not been spending like every day with him recently, but I'm still... it's been a couple days since I've spoken to him, and I'm sort of not even feeling sure I want to call him at this point.
I understand. See, you've got that thing. You see, you've got that kind of numbness inside. You're not sure. It's not that you're angry. You don't want to be there anymore. You don't feel any gumption. You don't feel the desire to be there.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is some anger, and I was listening to what you were saying, and I don't think he's done anything. It's just the anger is probably just... I don't know.
Isn't that something? So anger becomes, this is one of the reasons when people come to see us and part of what we work with as couples counselors, the anger is not necessarily rational, but if it's expressed, it clears the air. So you might consider doing that, even though it's irrational anger.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
No. Well,
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. If you were to take the things that you're angry about, like angry that he's too present, like angry that he calls too much, like angry that you can't be alone, like angry that he kind of makes you feel guilty. Those kind of things, and if you were to pick those up and tell him, this is what makes me angry, it doesn't mean that he's really responsible for doing those, but if you express it, you might feel that your deadness goes away.
Uh-huh.
Give it a shot, Elizabeth.
Okay, I've already, done that, and I'm not sure. I don't know. There's still, I wonder if it's normal to just reach a stage where just a person's mannerisms and things they say just sort of, I don't know, maybe make me more angry than I should be.
Well, you see, for you it's normal until you're ready to do it differently. When your heart says, okay, now we'll be a little more tolerant, you'll be more tolerant. For the time being, this is where you are, and this is the way you are. You could do a lot of work on changing and exposing what's underneath it. You know, I guarantee you, if we took a close look at your relationship with your dad, we would find a lot of information. You know what I mean about your relationship with your dad?
I can guess from what I know about our relationship.
Yeah,
with
you had a lot of pain with your dad. A lot. You know?
Mm-hmm. Actually, yeah.
I know. And that comes up here. That's what gets in the way. It's till you're over that, completely over that, till you slide out of that childhood pain, that it's very hard to enter into an adult relationship. But when you're ready, you will. Elizabeth, thanks for calling in.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. 212-209-2900. So you see, now I had to bring up the parental stuff because that does get in here and it does get in the way. Here's a big one for you. You meet somebody, if you have a tendency to relate to people who are of the opposite sex as opposed to same-sex relationships, if you're in an opposite sex relationship, you pick somebody. And one would think, if you're a woman, you pick somebody who is going to be a man, and so you're going to pick somebody who is like a daddy type, strong, sensitive male, okay? Kind of ideal. Not just strong male, because that's a boy type. You know, a boy, somebody who's exerting too much strength all the time and not showing any sensitivity. But a strong, sensitive male is ideal daddy. Ideal. Now, I'm not looking for a daddy, but you have to keep in mind, we all grew up with parents, and our definition of love and where we feel safe comes in the form of this parent of the opposite sex. So, if you're someone who's looking for the opposite sex, and the opposite sex happens to be men, I guess they're even the same sex, and you look like, okay, now I've got this man, and I'm a woman, and I got this man, and he's like my perfect daddy, and then not necessarily like my father, but I'm going to get his maleness, and I'm going to relate to it. And you feel like a woman with a man, and it's the daddy type. He's kind of got all these qualities. And then something happens. Happens a lot in relationships. The man, suddenly, when he's in the relationship, and through the pressures that you put on the relationship, he starts unfolding that he's more like your mother than he is like your dad. Men who become mothers to women are a complete turnoff. Yep, you now have this vague feeling that you love them because you feel affection for them, but you don't want to touch them. You don't want to go to bed with them. You don't want to smell them. You kind of have them there, and you know they're there, and you don't understand why it happened, but it happens so much. It especially happens when men start nurturing. When a man who doesn't really know how to nurture well becomes a nurturer and starts using guilt as part of his nurturing tool. He starts saying to his wife, well, you know, I'm going to make dinner for us tonight, or I'll go out shopping, or why didn't you get... And he starts using guilt in the relationship. When the man starts making his wife feel guilty, he's becoming a woman. He's becoming not a woman, actually. A woman is far superior to that. He's becoming a mother type. So one of the things that make relationships go from being in love to out of love is the reversal of the sex of your partner. Many of you have sexless relationships with your husbands or your wives. If you look closely, you're going to find that your mate has become more like your mother than they did your father if you're a woman. Now, if you're a man, or if you're somebody who relates to women, you're going to find the woman, and this happens to a lot of men who have women in their lives, who choose women or women who choose women, trying to do this correctly, and I hope, please don't get angry at me, I just want you to know that I'm being very conscious of the choices. But let's say you're somebody who wants to relate to women, and there's things about women you love, tenderness, softness, all that stuff, and you choose to have a woman who represents the female thing that you're related to, and you are related to them, and you're related to their softness, their tenderness, and all the other power and strength that they have as well, their nurturing abilities, But they get mad at you. And when they get mad at you, they start dominating you. And if they get mad at you and you're somebody who doesn't know how to handle this, they will start by being very strong and telling you what to do. Now, this person who is a soft, tender, responsive person now becomes like your boss. And they become strong. They go into their power and they are now the ones who are telling you what to do. And what have they done? They've gone from being a mommy type to being a daddy type. When the woman that you're in love with, if you're a man and you're in love with a woman who suddenly starts bossing you around, you suddenly find yourself in a relationship with your father. Now, especially if you had a negative relationship with your father. So this is a complex issue, my friends, but you know, as somebody who studied psychology for 35 years, I have nothing to do except to think. And since there is no research available on the web as to why people fall out of love, I'm going to make a proposal here. The reason people fall out of love with their mates is because primarily there is a reversal of the sexes unconsciously. Yep, that's my theory. That's what I've seen. And so this becomes a dynamic force. And you don't even know it. I mean, you respond chemically. You know, we all respond different chemically to our to prospective mates as opposed to prospective friends. So if you're a woman who responds chemically to men, you know, and your body juices start going, and then all of a sudden that man starts representing himself as your mother or your woman, now, if you're not the type of woman who likes to have a physical response to women, you're going to feel turned off. And the chemical turnoff is amazing. Amazing. It is just remarkable. You may have loved the shaving lotion that he used. But after a while, the shaving lotion that he uses begins to smell like some kind of disgusting perfume. You see, it loses its masculinity. You may have loved her. Beautiful perfume. But after you start smelling it, you get sick of the smell, tired of the smell. It certainly doesn't attract you. In fact, it begins to disgust you. This is falling out of love. It's only one of the reasons. But between anger and what I consider to be that reversal that happens with the sexuality, there are two possible reasons. Now, if you care about somebody and you want to maintain your relationship, if you really want to maintain it and you want to get it going, it's going to require taking a deeper look at this. So you could ask yourself the question, shrinks are helpful and counselors are helpful, but many of them, they don't know how to relate to people themselves anyway. So, I mean, you're going to try your best, but they're out there. I mean, people are out there to try to help you with it. The main thing you could do is to look at yourself and try to break it down. What is it? So if you break it down by items, what are the things I dislike the most about this person now? What annoys me? Make the list and then see if you could give that list, compare that list to your mother or your father and see who this person has become, and you'll find that they've switched sexes on you without you even knowing it. Well, that's it. That's all I've got to say to you, my friends. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Back with you tomorrow with Roberta Atti talking about medicine women. On Thursday, we have another program with somebody, Cohen, who is going to talk about deep feelings, emotional deep feelings, and the value of deep feelings. And so we will be back with you then. If you need a copy of today's program, you call 212-757-4488. That's 212-757-4488. Or you can send me an email, armand@brainlink.com. This is a Romanian favorite.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Hi, Duke.